Our first reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 65, verses 1 to 5. Praise and thanksgiving. O God, it is right for us to praise you in Zion and keep our promises to you, because you answer prayers. People everywhere will come to you on account of their sins. Our faults defeat us, but you forgive them. Happy are those whom you choose, who you bring to live in your sanctuary. We shall be satisfied with the good things of your house, the blessings of your sacred temple. You answer us by giving us victory, and you do wonderful things to save us. People all over the world and across the distant seas trust in you. Our New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus also told this parable to people who were sure of their own goodness and despised everyone else. Once there were two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood apart by himself and prayed, "I thank you, God, that I am not greedy, dishonest, or an adulterer, like everyone else. I thank you that I am not like that tax collector over there. I fast 2 days a week, and I give you a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector stood at the distance and would not even raise his head to heaven, and beat on his breast and said, "God, have pity on me, a sinner." "I tell you," says Jesus, "the tax collector, and not the Pharisee, was in the right with God when he went home. For all who made themselves great will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be made great."
I should have apologized, actually. I sound quite nasal this morning, but I'm just coming out of a cold, so I'm not putting on a posh voice. It's just this cold that I had. You know how when you think you know a passage in the Bible, you know it so well, and you know you're going to talk about it, and thought, "Oh, I don't need to bother to," just at the nick of time. This one was one of those passages for me. The Pharisees and the tax collector. When I looked at it, because when I know I'm going to preach, I just look at the passage and see whether it's something that I would have to bury my head and do a lot of reading. But I thought, oh, this one is all about humility. I can do it in one day. I can sit there all afternoon and write a sermon. But it wasn't to be. It was one of the most uncomfortable parables that I have come across. And since writing this, each time I say something, I think, "Oh gosh, I'm like the Pharisee now, I'm die. Or am I like the tax collector?" And that just seems to be going on and on in my head. So I hope I don't get you confused today, because I am very confused with this parable. And it's a parable that I thought I knew everything about it, but I don't. So let's get to it. When we read Paul's letters, Paul often gives us a list of personal qualities that he wants us to develop. But not so with Jesus. Jesus told stories. He gave us parables. And we've just heard the parable, the story of the Pharisees and the tax collector, where two people are at prayer in the temple. One stands up and prays bravely, happy to list to God his impressive morals and religious achievements. The law says you have to fast once a year, but this man fasts twice a week. The law says you have to pay tithes on everything, though corn, wine, and oil are exempt. This man pays tithes on everything. You wonder whether he just wants to donate money to the Inland Revenue. This man walks the talk. He reads his Bible. He prays before and after meals. And he faithfully attends the temple or the synagogue, wherever he was. He goes far beyond what is expected of him. And he stands there and says, thank God that I'm not like everyone else. I am not greedy, I am not dishonest, I'm not adulterous. I'm better than other people, the outcast, those detestable people on the edge of society. I'm better than them. And thank God I'm not like that tax collector who's at the back there praying. And you get the feeling that he's just speaking loud enough for the people around him to hear what he's saying. And there's something about this prayer that makes you wonder whether he was actually praying to God or he was praying to those people around him. But maybe we shouldn't be too quick to criticize him. Sometimes in our life, that we're not like somebody else whose life we despise or pity for that matter. And if we think like that, even for a second in our weak moments, when we're trying really hard, as I've been trying this week, to make sure that I don't sound like the Pharisees, but then I think I keep blaming the tax collector, then we have actually become like the Pharisees ourselves. And this parable makes us uncomfortable. So we could try reading this parable differently. After all, we've learned from our days in Sunday school. We know that pride in our goodness is not a godly thing to do. We have learned that spiritual pride is a sin. We are aware of our sinfulness and our weakness before God. But the tax collector prays from the back row. His prayer sounds very much like the sort of prayer that we will be praying. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we're able to identify with him, and he's the one who goes home acquitted of his sins. So that seems okay. And then I remember a story that I heard of a Sunday school teacher. She just finished teaching this parable to the young ones. And after that, she led them in prayer. She said, we thank thee, O Lord, that we are not like the Pharisees. We thank thee, O Lord, that we are not like the Pharisees. The Pharisees sitting there said, thank you, Lord, I'm not like the tax collector. And then, of course, we want to turn around and said, thank you, dear Lord, I'm not like the Sunday school teacher. So we are in an impossible, inescapable predicament. And we suddenly realize how uncomfortable this particular one parable is. There's no place to sit that feels right, that feels comfortable. And with all the troubles going on in the world, we really want to sit somewhere where it feels good. So where then do we sit? We can't be self-righteous. We can't be proud of our own goodness. We can't even be proud of our own self-awareness, of our sense of ourselves as sinners. Where can we hear some comfortable words? It is difficult to avoid interpreting this parable in a straightforward, even simplistic terms, in part because of the dramatic action of this parable. It's so predictable, even to those with limited knowledge of the Jesus story. Because knowing the Pharisees were always cast in opposition with the Lord, we all too easily judge them to be self-righteous hypocrites and assume that the moral of this story is about humility. This is a good reason, or there's a very good reason for this straightforward interpretation of this parable, because that's how Luke, the writer, frames it. The difficulty with such an interpretation is that we might as well end up me standing here saying, Lord, we thank you that we are not like other people. We're not hypocrites. We're not overtly pious. We're not self-righteous. And we're not even like the Pharisees. Because we come to church every week. We pray every morning. We pray before we eat. And we learn that we should always be humble. But in order to avoid the kind of self-congratulatory reading of the parable that this parable itself would have us condemn, it may help to know that, in fact, everything the Pharisee said is quite true. Because he has set himself apart from others by his faithful adherence to the law. He is by the standards of both Luke and Jesus righteous. So before we judge him too quickly, we might reframe his prayer slightly and wonder if we have uttered it ourselves. Maybe we haven't actually said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like the other people. But what about on seeing someone down on their luck? Do we say, thank God, I have a better life than that person? The Pharisees had trusted in himself. His prayer of gratitude may be spoken to the Lord, but it is really about himself. He locates his righteousness entirely in his own actions and his own merits. In his mind, there are two kinds of people, the righteous and the immoral, and he is grateful that he has placed himself amongst the righteous. And it may not be an accident that Jesus preaches this parable in a temple, because on the grounds of the temple, you were acutely aware of your status and what you could expect from God. There were the temple insiders and the outsiders, and according to these rules, there was no question of where the Pharisees and the tax collectors stood. But when Jesus died on that cross, everything changed. The curtain in the temple was torn in two, symbolically erasing all divisions of humanity before God. And that act, that parable, is prefigured here as God justifies not the one favored by the temple laws, but rather the one standing outside the temple gate and aware only of his utter need. This is what makes the parable so uncomfortable. Because for as soon as we fall prey to the temptation to divide humanity into a kind of groups, we have aligned ourselves squarely with the Pharisees. But maybe we're all a generous mix of the Pharisees and the tax collector. And getting the Pharisees part of us, making ourselves aware of that part of our lives is the first step towards honesty. And getting the tax collector in us to recognize that there's no need to despair of our sinfulness, but bring it all to the foot of the cross is another. So we get to put things into some perspective and see ourselves as we really are. Only then, of course, we can begin to see that other people are rather the same as us, not at a great distance from us, but more like our sisters and our brothers. Perhaps Jesus is not so interested in our identifying ourselves today as a Pharisee or the tax collector. Jesus is interested in our hearts being open before God, and so being open to discovering what is true and the ultimate worth, discovering the unique persons that God created us to be. These two men reflect two differing attitudes towards God. One viewed God as the owner of a big corporation in which he had a large amount of shares. He was sure that as he kept building up the stock, he would someday have a controlling share in the business. He speaks to God as an equal. He separates himself by erecting a barrier and putting down the others. The other saw God as a generous God who extended undeserving grace, extravagant love, and endless mercy. He approaches God as someone in need who identifies himself with others. And it was because it was before such a God that he was willing to be himself, his true self. And when we, like this person, see God for who he is, then we too are able to face up to who we are. And we are given the freedom to confess with this fella and also with King David, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Amen.